Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey and Deb Evans Consulting. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
Hey, soul sister. Ain't that social geek on the radio? Stereo? I think it is. Hello, geeks, and welcome back to Social Geek Radio. We have a returning guest today in Stefania Sigurdsson-Forbes. She's the marketing director from Franchise Blast and the host of her own very popular online video series. Welcome back, Stefania.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We had so many people reach out to me after you were on with us, 4 or 5 weeks ago, saying, hey, you've got to bring her back. She's really got a lot of cool stuff to say. So thank you for coming back. We had some interesting ideas on LinkedIn that you and I were sharing a while back, and I thought that would be a perfect thing for us to talk about today. So thanks for joining us again.
No problem.
You know, we talk so much on Social Geek Radio about Facebook and Facebook ads and Facebook Messenger and Facebook's ownership of Instagram and everything else. I don't think we talk about LinkedIn enough. So let's start with this. Where do you see LinkedIn fitting into the business community now? I think we're past the it's just a jobs platform and an HR platform, right? Are we past that? Is it a social media platform now? Is it an advertising network? Where do you see this fitting in?
I think that LinkedIn has something for everyone. So of course it started out with recruiters, and that's where a lot of us remember the very beginning of LinkedIn. I remember in my early marketing days working with the recruiting team or HR team on LinkedIn initiatives. Then it turned into a sales platform where sales reps were having success doing reach outs, maybe even cold reach outs on LinkedIn compared to email or even phone, as people are answering the phone less and less. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I see a pretty big marketing play for LinkedIn as well, especially for B2B marketers and franchise recruiters. So I see a play on both of those levels in the marketing world.
And for those levels, are we talking about your typical day in, day out LinkedIn activities? You know, I'm going to share an article from the Wall Street Journal, or I'm going to share an article from Inc. We see a lot of that in the franchise world. Or are you really talking about getting into the paid aspect of LinkedIn messaging?
So I see a lot of potential in the paid aspect as well. In particular, in the sponsored emails and also in sponsored content. So those are my two favorites in terms of the tests that I've executed on. Mm-hmm. On the other pieces, I'm not saying it won't work for anyone. I'll just say on, the tests that I've used, it's really all about that sponsored content and the sponsored emails.
Let's talk about those emails first, because it's something that I think a lot of people have done wrong, right? Or inappropriately have sent some emails. So I think anytime I talk about emails, I see people sort of take a step back, because I think they don't want to be associated with something that has had so much backlash and a lot of negative talk about these emails. But it sounds like there's a right way to do this in the sponsored world.
Yes, I have a saying that I've borrowed from the sales world. The sales world talks about always be closing, and I like to think of the marketing world as having the expression always be helping. So in that spirit, I think that having helpful content can really, really boost your initiatives. Okay, so sponsored emails were actually introduced in 2016 by LinkedIn, and this allows you to sponsor kind of like those emails, which is kind of like LinkedIn's email system. Mm-hmm. And you can pay in order to have those sent. Okay. So if you think of an email as an email, there's unbelievable results comparing the two medium. So for example, I get really excited on email when I have an open rate of 40%. Okay. Like, that's like pretty killer, in the software world. Typically like software, email open rates are around 20, but on my recent email campaign that I did, I had a 50% open rate.
Wow. Right?
So that was like the beauty of it, where people are paying more attention to my emails than they do on my emails, right? So that level of engagement is basically kind of unheard of in other areas. The other beautiful thing about LinkedIn email is that you can target very specific industries, titles, and you can also target groups that people are following. So in the franchising world, I can target people that are following the International Franchise Association, knowing that people following that group will be really into franchising, like deeply into it. Mm-hmm. So that's like a really, you know, positive group for me. I can also target some of my favorite job titles, such as like a VP of ops in a franchise organization, or if I'm targeting maybe like franchise business coaches, I might have a variety of different keywords around that. So you can really carefully target those titles, which is extremely helpful.
So I love the targeting piece because it's a lot like what we're talking about with other social networks, i.e. Facebook, where we can, you know, really target and say we don't want to blanket the world with this message, but we really want to find the 500 most appropriate people in North America for this message.
Correct.
But tell me about the content. What, actually, let me take a step back. From whom is this in-mail coming? Is this coming from Stefania? Or is this coming from your company, or what's the origin of the sender?
Interesting question. So you can assign any sender that you like. So when I did the particular campaign that I'm looking at right now, I tested two different senders, myself and Jason, who's the owner of the company and founder.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Jason's open rate was much higher than my open rate, because maybe they see that I'm a marketing person and they start to tune me out, where Jason has that, you know, kind of strength of being the founder of the company. And maybe they're looking, oh, you know, what is this communication about?
Right.
So it doesn't come from the company. It comes from an individual at the company.
Good. The one thing I always say about LinkedIn, whether you're talking about paid content or you're talking about updates from someone's profile, it should come from that person or a profile as opposed to from the company page, which, let's face it, a lot of people don't pay much attention to any company's page. They, you know, they want to connect with a person or an executive. So I love the idea that you're sending it out from the CEO and founder, because it sounds to me like maybe let's go as high up in our own organization as we can to have that person be, you know, sort of the voice and the face of this in-mail that's coming out.
Yep, definitely. And just think about your own behavior, Jack. Like, think about who you follow. Do you follow Virgin or do you follow Richard Branson?
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Probably Richard Branson. Yeah. And yep. He has like many millions of followers, and that's like 10 times more than what the Virgin company has. So
that's a very good point. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So back to the content. So what are you putting in these in-mails, and is that part of the great open rate, or you know, what's really driving the content in the in-mails?
So great question. So I've actually done a few different tests, and the test that was the most successful was sending case study type content. Mm. So over at Franchise Blast, we do these initiatives. They're called battle tested strategies. And it's where people are out there in the field doing their thing, and they talk about the success that they had with it. And we had this really awesome battle-tested strategy with a franchise coach named Amy Perkins from Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream. And she was talking about how she increased her her region's sales by using this really specific strategy. So it was really, really specific, and it was centered around her and making her a star. So what we did after that is we had a download where people could download a little cheat sheet, which would be exactly the strategy that Amy used, but they could use it in their franchise organization. So this was using that idea of always be helping. And then we traded some content for an email address. So we had a great both click-through and conversion rate, and we got to talk to some new people that we wouldn't have normally talked to. So it's all about creating that value, and it's about creating sort of kind of empowering people, right, with this knowledge.
And I love the fact that you made the trade and you got the email address, because now you're open to lots of other communications and being helpful in the future, perhaps with some other custom audience targeting on some other networks too. So that's a fair trade. I love that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other types of sponsored content and sponsored messaging on LinkedIn. What else are you doing outside of in-mails as far as paid content?
So the other favorite is doing boosted posts. So similar to how you can boost posts on Facebook, mm-hmm. you can do the same thing on LinkedIn, except you have this enhanced targeting, which us B2B marketers really love. So you can target by, again, their job title and who they follow, etc. So boosted posts, I get like CTRs between 5 and 10%. I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. They are more expensive than Facebook. My cost per clicks run anywhere from $2 to $5. So a lot more expensive than Facebook, but also a lot more valuable.
Yeah, I think the cost per click doesn't bother me too much if I know that it's the vice president of operations at, you know, 123 Franchising Company Incorporated that that I'm really trying to reach. If I'm trying to reach a bunch of those people, that cost per click doesn't really bother me too much.
Yep. And it really is creating that funnel around it too. So if I was just sending them to content and then losing them, that wouldn't be valuable to me. But it's also creating a funnel where we can get their email address. And then, Jack, the hard work starts where the salespeople start reaching out and they create that relationship, right? So I completely realize that this is only the beginning of a relationship and the sales reps are the ones doing all the hard work. I wouldn't be anywhere without amazing salespeople like Dean over at Franchise Blast who are really into that relationship side.
Yeah, shout out to Dean and kudos to you for recognizing that. I think there's a lot of sales guys out there that that shall we say feel underappreciated. But it's an interesting life to be a salesperson, especially in the software and in new technology space. You have to be pretty good about hearing the word no and moving on, right?
Yes.
So setting these guys up with some pretty hot or at least warm introductions to a VP of operations or whomever they're trying to reach out to, reaching out to those guys with a case study or something else ahead of time that they've seen, that they found it helpful enough that, you know, maybe they're going to be open to a conversation. I think that's sounds like a winning combination. Have you seen any industries or maybe job titles or audiences on LinkedIn for whom this kind of sponsored content and boosting really works best? Is it, I mean, we've been talking about the franchise space, but I'm sure it works in lots of other industries. Have you seen any trends on that with some of the people you've reached out to?
Yes. So I would say the more targeted the industry, the better. So if you're a vertical market software company and you target dealers, for example, then that is a great target for this type of initiative. If you're a little more broad and your target is everybody, I think this wouldn't be great because then you wouldn't have to take advantage of this awesome targeting that we have, right? So I think the more specific you are, the better. I was reading on the Frans Social Forum actually this morning, there was a marketing expert talking about personas and franchise development. So another great way, right? Like if you're targeting former pharmaceuticals sales reps or something like that, that can be an awesome use of this in your franchise development efforts as well.
Yeah, I think that's one area that that we can't really do on Facebook now is looking at you know really specific job information, and it might not even be that accurate. Where I think the thing that LinkedIn really has going for it when it comes to job titles as well as current employer is everyone keeps their LinkedIn pretty up to date, right? Like if you just started a new job, you've already updated your LinkedIn profile with all of that information. So so at least when it comes to the jobs and the targeting and that kind of thing, I think your targeting is really going to be spot on there. One last question on the sponsored content. You talked about case studies and things like that with the in-mails. Same types of content that you're doing in the boosted pieces in the sponsored content, or where are you going with the type of content there? And is there any room for video there?
That is my next experiment, actually. Interesting that you asked. So I'm going to be getting the green screens out and doing some proper videos as a next test. But in terms of the sponsored content, I really like pictures of real people. So not Photoshop pictures, but pictures of real people who are out there that people can relate to, right?
Yeah.
So people relate to people like them. So if I am targeting a certain job type, I'll think about who's in that job and I'll find a very relatable picture. So I think that's like a really big part of it. In terms of the content pieces, I do anything from case studies, also webinars. So doing some webinar content can be like a great use of that boosted post.
And I would imagine you could get, and I hate to even describe it this way, but you could get a little dry with the content, right? Like with some pretty in-depth case studies, because this isn't Facebook, right? And it's certainly not Instagram. You know, you can get a little data geeky and deep into the dry stuff of a case study on LinkedIn without turning that audience off, where, you know, if you were trying to promote that on Instagram, you would get passed by pretty quickly, I think. So, any last thoughts on sponsored content or anything else with in-mails on LinkedIn that's working or maybe something else you're looking at experimenting with?
I would like to share, and I don't know if this is a little unusual, but I would like to share.
Unusual something. On this show? Come on.
Yeah. I would like to share something that actually doesn't work.
Even so, better.
Yeah, there you go. So just like to help people save budget. One thing that I've noticed doesn't work is content that is not working on your other channels. Okay. So I was working with some webinar content that wasn't working anywhere. It was very like technical webinar that was getting deeply into the details. And I thought, okay, well, why don't I try targeting technical people with this technical webinar? And guess what? It didn't work. So I would say if you're going to be trying in-mail or sponsored content, that you should be starting strong and using the content that really, really works already. So, you know, your case studies, a day in a life, you know, what it looks like when you automate this function for the software world. So just sort of starting strong and not getting too deeply into the technical stuff. So you mentioned about, oh, how you can geek out a little. Yes, in terms of analytics and that kind of stuff, you can totally geek out on. I'd be a little more careful with some of that super specialized technical content that may not be for everybody. Does that make sense? Or am
I just? Yeah. Okay. especially I think if you're like me and you're reaching marketing people, or if you're, if you're like Franchise Blast and you're reaching, the top people in operations. Right. But I guess if you were trying to reach software engineers, you could go right to 11 on the geek scale, from day one. And I guess it all goes back to knowing your audience, right?
Yes, exactly. And the best person's brain to pick in terms of knowing your audience is always your salespeople, just because marketing is just mass produced sales. So no one knows more about your target persona than them.
Marketing is mass produced sales. Love it. We're going to get t-shirts with that made on it. Perfect. Before we close today's show, one quick note. This episode is brought to you by Franchise Dictionary Magazine. The new June 2018 issue is out now at franchisedictionary.com and features a spotlight on mobile franchises. They're more than just taco trucks. So check it out today, franchisedictionary.com. Stefania, what else is happening with you when it comes to your awesome video series? You've got some good stuff coming up for us, I hope.
Yes. So I'm continuing on with my business model. So if you want to check out my video series, you can go to gravityhub.ca/updates and you can sign up to get the videos to you every week. So if you want to check that out, you can.
All right. We will see you there on the videos. Thanks once again for joining Social Geek Radio, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, Jack. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you and good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.